Hi, and welcome in again to the Worship Life Podcast with Mike Harland. I am Brian Brown, your co-host. We're coming to you, as always, from the historic B.B. McKinney Studios, Mike, in beautiful downtown Nashville, Tennessee, USA.
Beautiful, and Nashville is, I don't know if the folks listening, if all of them have been to Nashville lately.
Right.
What's happening in downtown Nashville in terms of development and real estate boggles the mind. Our little southern city has become another place almost.
Absolutely. It is incredible. In my last office, could see 12 cranes out the windows of the office.
It's unbelievable. And one of those construction sites.
Yes.
Is Lifeway's new headquarters.
The new headquarters for Lifeway Christian Resources. We've occupied roughly these acres here in downtown Nashville for, 100 years, maybe one of the
120
buildings.
120-something.
Yep. But we're moving about a mile north and a little bit to the west, and we can see that out of our window now,
construction
of our new building.
Yep,
and I'm really, really, really excited to be moving into some space that's a little more up-to-date. And we may have to take some of the historic memorabilia from the historic B.B. McKinney Studios over to our new location.
But, Brad, I want to assure you that you're not going to lose the jacuzzi in your office
space
that you've enjoyed all these years. That's going to be in the new building.
You can't work if you're not relaxed. Okay. Speaking of tools that help us in our ministry, you see how I transitioned that there. You have a title of a blog that went out that got a ton of response from people who could relate, I think, to the problem you have experienced in the past leading worship. You know, as our listeners know, you were a worship leader for 25 years full-time before coming on to Lifeway and leading Lifeway worship. And you call it the curse of the confidence monitor.
Yes.
Now, Mike, what's a confidence monitor? Does that monitor your level of confidence as a worship leader during the service?
It's kind of a
Fitbit
thing
Fitbit,
you wear. And you can look down there and
see how confident you are.
That's not quite what it is. Well, this is a term that I've heard others use. I didn't coin it myself, but a term that refers to whatever lyric projection that the stage can see. Now, I readily admit, and certainly been in the settings where not every church that projects lyrics actually even has a projection that's for the stage.
Right.
And some of those people are having to look out of their corners of their eyes to
and
see what
the worship leaders, we would
are.
Highly recommend that if you don't have confidence monitors, please install them.
And you know what? It's as simple. It's as simple as running a cable, an extra cable to the front pew of your church. Or
Right. Some
churches will mount it on the back wall. Or in the church where I lead worship, sometimes Brentwood Baptist, we actually have several across the congregation in the worship area, both in the lower level where the pew is, but also some that are strategically placed on the facade of the balcony so that the worship leader can completely engage with the congregation visually and yet have some things that gives confidence that what you are singing is exactly what they are seeing on the other
Right. Monitors.
So hence the name Confidence Monitor.
Confidence Monitor. So those, as we know, they work perfectly every time. There's no need for anything to ever be written down. You just, like a pair of crutches, you lean on the Confidence Monitor, and it's always there.
And the level of expertise of the people that are running the Confidence Monitors are the projection systems in our church is always 100%. They never go to the wrong slide. They never pick the wrong song, right?
Or take too long to switch from one slide
to
the
other. No, it never happens.
Yeah. So talk about that. You know, when I was a kid, I remember standing next to my mom often in worship, and my mom never, very rarely did she need the hymnal. And it wasn't because there were words projected on the screen. It's because she knew all the words to
Absolutely. All
the hymns. I was
Sure. Always
amazed by that. And I remember trying to memorize hymns as a kid so I could be like my mom and know all the words and not have to read them. So this is a new generation. Not many people have songs memorized anymore because of the confidence monitor. And I think that was, you talked about a particular experience that you had one Sunday morning, even a seasoned veteran worship leader like yourself was leaning a little too heavily on that crutch.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Brian. There was a Sunday morning at West Franklin Baptist Church, and I was leading there. That's a satellite campus of Brentwood Baptist, and it's a wonderful place. Matt Pearson's the pastor. Brad Cleveland is the worship pastor there. But before Brad had come permanently, I was leading, and the first song had gone great. We have a choir there, a band, and it was just great. And the introduction to the second song had started. The band was playing, but on the monitor, a scripture verse came up.
All right.
That should have been a clue, to me because it was the very same scripture verse that I had read before the first song.
Right.
So I started reading that scripture again. And of course, the whole time I'm reading it, I'm thinking to myself, this isn't right. Something's wrong here. But I'm reading it and
sounded
presenting it
really
as best
familiar.
I can. And then when that scripture finished, the next lyric slide started. And I'm embarrassed to say, but I started singing that lyric. Well, my wife is next to me on the stage, and Teresa is saying, this isn't right. This isn't right. She's trying to get my attention. And what had happened is the operator had actually gone back to the very top of the service, and I was now singing the exact lyric on the second song to a different tune that we had used in the first song.
Now, was the meter the same, so it all lined up perfectly?
Well, not hardly, and I actually had to stop the song.
Okay.
Now, I'd love to tell you that was in my first church when I was 20 years old,
right.
But that actually happened just a few weeks ago.
Right.
Months ago. And it really is what prompted me to write this blog because I began to think about it. I've thought about this before, but the confidence monitor, as helpful as it can be, has also brought some other realities to us that I think as worship pastors and leaders, we need to understand that this tool that can be helpful can also be hurtful if we're not really intentional about how we use it.
Absolutely. So what advice would you give to worship pastors out there? I'm sure all of them have similar stories to yours. The thing that comes to my mind, Mike, most often is the people running those slides, as you know, are almost always volunteers. And now,
sure.
Now, if you're listening and you're in a church that has a dedicated technical staff that's paid and professional, congratulations to you. I'm sure even in that setting, it's difficult. But when you have volunteer staff, lay staff, that sometimes might not be musical at all. Often this staff is hired more for their technical ability, Mike, as you know, than their musical experience, background, and knowledge. And that can certainly affect how they do their job. So how did you, over the years, how have you worked with the tech team to ensure these things don't happen? Or what have you done since this incident happened at West Franklin to try? What advice would you give?
I'm going to give 4 points here, and then we can talk about a couple other things as they come to mind. But here's something I think we need to admit right off the bat, is that the confidence monitor has caused worship leaders and singers to relax their preparation just a little bit. Now, I've got to be honest to say, you were talking about your mom knowing all those words.
Right.
Well, 20 years ago, long before there was a monitor on the front of my pew, I would have had every song we were singing that day memorized.
Right.
I would have known everything. I would have prepared in a way that assumed I'm not going to have any kind of prompting. I've got to know this and know it well. And I would prepare that way. But I've got to admit, and that's what that experience at West Franklin Baptist Church reminded me, that even someone that with my experience, and I've got a lot of it, as you pointed out, and you like to talk to my gray hair.
Certainly more experience than I have.
Yes. Well, thank you. But even someone like me has allowed the presence of this monitor to kind of impact the way we're preparing. Mm. We no longer have things memorized because we know we no longer have to.
Right.
And we know that even soloists, even people that we are assigning solos to, are coming into the worship service, a lot of confidence around the notes, but really not even having the text memorized. So I think we need to realize that the presence of the confidence monitor has actually deflated our preparation in many cases. And that, I think, is what sets us up for moments like I had at West Franklin.
Yeah.
Here's a couple of things I would say. Number one, I think as worship pastors, as worship leaders, we need to prepare for the services we lead to be able to lead independently of the confidence monitor.
Right.
So that even if that operator has a slide out of order, I mean, it's a person operating equipment.
Right.
What could go wrong?
Right.
Well,
right.
Lots of things could. The person could make a human error. Nobody's going to be perfect back there. And by the way, we don't need to be overly harsh on people that make subtle errors in the operation of stuff. We need to help train them and equip them and help them do better and be sure that we're handing them slides that are completely accurate and in the right order. I mean, some of this is on us. There's a misspelled word up there, and the guy that's hitting the forward button, it's not his fault unless he built that file. I mean, we need to own that part of it. But we just need to understand that the human being is going to make a mistake, and that technical equipment is going to fail too.
Right.
Computers are going to crash. Things are going to go haywire. I actually, in the blog that we're talking about, I actually recounted a story of one Sunday morning at First Baptist Church, Carrollton, Texas, where I served right before I came to Lifeway. The service began at 10:30 every Sunday morning, and we used monitors and projection on everything we did. Well, at 10:25, a squirrel got into the transformer at the corner of the block where our church was, and the transformer blew up five minutes before the service starts, and we lose all electricity.
Wow.
And so if we're totally dependent on the monitors to survive, we are completely in trouble. And I remember that day going to my office, grabbing a guitar and walking out and leading with my guitar from memory, everything that we had planned to do that day. And I was really glad that I had some songs that day that I knew that well.
Right.
But that reminded me that day to say, when I get ready for a worship service, if I feel the temptation to say, you know, I don't really need to work on that anymore, I'll have the confidence monitor to help me. If that's in my psyche, then I probably need to get back to a place where I'm preparing a little better than that and not be so dependent on the monitor.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. It's really difficult to share the heart of a song when you don't have that song implanted on your heart.
Well, that's kind of one of my next points. And not only do I want to prepare that way, I want to challenge my leaders to do that. And one of the ways I can help my leaders do that is rehearse without it.
Yeah, there you go.
You know what? We're going to, right now in our vocal team practice, we're preparing this next Sunday's song. Hey, guys, we're going to go no monitor right now. I want you to really dig into the lyric and see what you've got memorized. Let's practice. This run-through is going to be without the monitor. Just turn it off. And if your people are fumbling and struggling and all that stuff, then you're helping them to see. They've got a little more work to do to get completely ready. So
you just panicked many a minister of music and a worship team.
Well,
out there.
I wouldn't do it on Sunday morning. Like, sure, oh, by the way, guys, I'm turning the monitor off. I wouldn't do that, but I'd do it in rehearsal for sure because I'd want those people to know that I expect you to know this song better than just because I'm telling you, if we are that dependent on the confidence monitor, then the worship leader of your church is not even you. It's the guy with the finger back at the board hitting the space button.
That's a good word.
He is now leading worship in your church if you are completely dependent on it. The third thing I would say is, and I just said this, but I encourage you to rehearse without the monitors leading up to the service. And then when they are there, then they become an assist to you, not the essential thing that you have to have. And the last point I made in that blog I want to mention here, and this is a little cliche-ish, but I really want people to get this, and this is what you just said. It's important that leaders be in the moment, not in the monitor.
That's good.
Where they're owning not only the song, they know it that well, but they're experiencing what the song says. You know, when you're singing about "This Is Amazing Grace," that great song that we love to sing, and so many people have gotten at LifewayWorship.com. When we're singing that, I don't want to be looking at that monitor, finding all those words phrase to phrase. I want to be inside the truth of what's that saying and experiencing it myself so that I can really prompt and lead people to worship. So instead of being overly in the monitor, know the song so well that you can be in the moment of what's happening and really engage, not just musically and performance-wise, but engage spiritually and emotionally because you know the song that well.
Yeah, it's a great word, Mike. I think about, you know, on an airbag, a lot of them will, in a car, it says SRS, Supplemental Restraint System. And the reason behind that is they still want you to wear your seatbelt, even though the airbag's there.
Yeah.
Don't rely on the airbag to save your life. You need that seatbelt buckle across
you. That's a good analogy.
And so that memorization is kind of that seatbelt. The airbag's there, that monitor's there, but the seatbelt is going to save your
life.
And
I want to encourage people that are preparing for worship musically. Most often, the worship pastor and the worship leaders, the music leaders, are not only responsible for the preparation of the music, they're also responsible for the technical preparation for the service.
Yeah.
Now, in a large church setting, you might have a technical director that's on staff that takes that responsibility. But even as a music leader, that guy's my best friend. I'm meeting with him. I'm talking with him. We've got a level of trust where we're really holding each other accountable to a high level of execution. That's in the large church. In most churches, it's going to be that music leader that's really responsible to build those slides or find those lyrics or put things together and give direction to the operators. And one of the things I'd always tell an operator, turn early, turn slides early.
Right.
There's some great suggestions, and maybe we need to blog about this or podcast about it. There's some ways that you can build slides so that they're easier to read, so that they're not as dependent on accurate and timely slide changing, but actually have more of a flow to them. There is some art to that, and I would encourage worship leaders to take some time to learn about what fonts look great, what backgrounds are helpful, how many words
are a real problem.
Backgrounds are a big issue. How many words per line?
Right.
All those things. And then in the confidence monitor subject, which we're talking about today, there are tools out there that actually, and this is interesting, you have to get used to this, but one supplier in particular that I know of, and I won't mention the name, but actually has a resource that has a prompting line that the congregation doesn't see, but the confidence monitor that the stage is seeing not only has the lyric of that slide, but it gives you the first line of the next slide. And that that's a very helpful tool that that if that's an issue in your church, you might want to think about looking and finding a tool that does that. So there are a lot of there's some art to it, but I would sum all of this part up by saying, worship pastor, spend a lot of energy getting this part right.
Yeah.
Brian, I heard you say this today in a meeting, in another meeting before we came in this studio. Those little bobbles are more impactful than you realize. Mm. You might think, oh, well, gosh, wasn't that funny? We misspelled that word or or that that slide was out of order. And we maybe even laugh it off a little bit. That's a very serious thing because the power of the gospel is indisputable. But our ability to present it accurately and with excellence has direct effect on how people hear and receive. And good grief, do we really want the responsibility of a poorly executed visual presentation that hinders the ability of the congregation to hear the lyric or to understand what the pastor was preaching because the wrong scripture was up? I mean, we really need, if we're going to be serious about leading worship well, a lot of our energy, maybe not most, but a significant part of our energy has got to be spent on getting this part right.
Yeah, Sunday mornings, Michael, the rest of our life are a spiritual battle, and the enemy is seeking to distract us from the all-encompassing and saving message of the gospel of Jesus Christ and eliminating distractions. You talked, I love how, what you talked about, the relationship between the minister of music and the tech guy. You know, I've read so many blogs, I've listened to so many podcasts directed at pastors where pastors plead with their people and their staff, please don't come up to me 5 minutes before the sermon and tell me something that's going to distract me. And how many times have I seen that same pastor or worship leader leaning over the tech guy, making changes to the PowerPoint slides 1 minute before the service? Yeah. What chance does that tech guy have to do that job well? Yeah. So if we're asking our people, hey, don't distract me 5 minutes before I've got to do my what the Lord's called me to do in this worship service. Let's give them that same courtesy, and I think that's a fantastic.
You know, as a volunteer leader at Brentwood Baptist Church, the music staff there supply me with a complete printout of all the lyrics and everything that's going to be visually displayed. When I'm leading on Sunday morning, I have that file by Thursday, and it's just a personal practice of mine on Saturday.
Right.
I'm going to read through every slide that's going to, and I'm a volunteer doing that, but that, I mean, I've just learned that I better do that and not count on somebody else to catch something. And this past Sunday, Brian, I found a wrong phrase. This is at our big church with all this stuff, but it's people.
10,000 members.
Yeah. I found a wrong phrase in one of the songs that if I had not read that Saturday night, it would have happened on Sunday morning, and it would have been a distraction to the power of the song.
Now, it wasn't a Mike Harlan song, was it?
Well, no, actually, it wasn't. We don't sing those in my church. But anyway, no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I'll make sure your pastor
Dennis, please don't take that seriously. But anyway, that's on us, guys. That's on us. We ought to care that much that it's right
We
walk out there on Sunday morning.
That's good. Well, Mike, that's just one of the issues our audience faces and we face as worship leaders. We know they're dealing with many other things. And so we want to remind you, all of you listening to the Worship Life podcast today, that we're praying for you. That's something we do every day at Lifeway Worship. And our job is about you. We're here to support you and your mission of making disciples and using music to do that. So we need to have you communicate with us. Let's make this a two-way conversation rather than a one-way podcast. Please contact us at Lifeway Worship and let us know how we can pray for you. Let us know what topics you'd like to hear Mike cover on the podcast. And as you're listening to the podcast, would you please go in and rate it and review it? And that way, some of these technology tools like from Apple and Google and other people, they can help spread the word so that other worship leaders can join the discussion and join the conversation. We love you. We're praying for you, Mike. And I know we want to say that every time we have a podcast that it goes beyond just discussions about confidence monitors and those kind of things. But we understand the hard stuff of ministry. And we want to be prayer warriors for these guys.
And you know what,
Ryan,
thank you for saying that. It reminds me and prompts me to say this to our listeners. The reason I get so passionate about some of these subjects, about this role, this God call that's on our lives to lead worship, is I've made every mistake that anybody's ever made. I really have. I've got some stories that I'm too embarrassed to tell of mistakes I've made in churches, and not always the first one, but even the last church, mistakes that were made. And if there's been some learning and some revelation that has been earned through that, when I pass things along, I'm not coming as the expert or the guru that thinks he knows everything. I'm coming as a fellow traveler that's made every mistake anybody's ever made. And if I can help somebody do it a little better, then maybe my mistakes were worth it after all.
One of my favorite statements is that a wise man learns from other people's mistakes. The fool learns by his own. So hopefully we can share some of our mistakes and keep people from making them. Listen, next time when you join us for the Worship Life podcast, we're going to talk about what worship style attracts the millennials. And probably more has been written about this generation than any generation since the baby boomers, the millennial generation and the worship style that attracts them. Mike, I know you have a lot to say about worship styles and a lot to say about targeting generations and these kind of things. So you'll want to join us next time on the Worship Life podcast with Mike Harlan. Thank you so much for being with us today. We look forward to talking to you again really soon.